Do you guys watch Community?
Look, I did. I need to, on and off. I never got into it the way everyone else gets into it. And then I kind of, I'm like, it's one I can put up and put down.
Yeah, okay.
It's not something I'm ridiculously married to.
I gotta warn you, I haven't read much this week. I've been watching.
That's okay.
Shit.
Yeah, same here. I've read nothing.
This is a book-free week, is it?
Well, look, I can make up for that with all of my Secret War talking. Oh,
that's a good point.
Should we just start and see where it leads us?
I think we kick it off. And, yeah.
With a sandwich.
Nick, but I think you should host.
You think I should host?
Why not?
You know the drill.
Can't be worse than Mike.
Drum?
All right, so if I'm going to host, we're going to do preamble, we're going to do news. Welcome everyone to episode 104 of the Watcher Podcast. This is Nick. I'm taking the reins today,
and official.
I'm going to sail this ship, the good ship Watcher, like it's my own.
Yay, toot toot. No, that's a train.
It is a train. You're not getting well. Oh dear, Thomas the Tank Engine. It really is my ship. Okay, so joining me today, I've got Dean and Mike.
Hey.
Hi.
Emma is not with us. She decided she didn't want to join the good ship Nick's Watcher. Who can blame her?
Em couldn't come today's recording, but you know, we do need to touch on the fact that we actually did this awesome recording last week. And then after that, we recorded the episode that you heard last week, which was our Avengers Age of Ultron episode. And the actual episode file got corrupted, but the Avengers Age of Ultron didn't.
You know what? I blame Ultron.
And we think, what you people don't know is that during at the start of the episode, Nick did this whole thing that he was in the machine and he was going to do it, and he fucked it up just so he could host this time.
I felt a little guilty about that, but only a little. So here we are. We're going to get things going. So as we normally do, we're going to rip out the newspapers. We're going to fire up the interwebs and let's hit the news.
Oh, I thought we were going to do what you're eating. Because I was ready to talk about Vegemite chocolate.
Well, that's something we haven't... we should address that. We talked about it last time, but
that file got corrupted.
Yeah.
Okay, I tried it.
So did I.
I did too.
I've tasted urine that's better than that.
Wow. Why are you tasting... I don't want to know.
It's a figure of speech that gays say. But it's just... I was like, I don't know what eating my own feces would be like, but I think it would taste better than this.
Wow. Have you sent that back to Cadbury yet? Because I think they'd appreciate that.
As much... I get the whole everyone's like... You know why? It's because you think it's a caramello, and then it's just got this awful Vegemite taste.
Okay, that's not a bad way of putting it, yeah. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 Vegemites.
When it comes to chocolate, I'm very traditional. I like my crunch. Not my crunch. Crunch.
Crunch? Rice Krispies?
Crunch has got the Rice Krispies stuff.
Which is, yeah, crunch. I like my crunch. I like my picnics. I like my chomp. I like my caramello. And I like my hazelnut. And the rest can go fucking kiss my ass.
Oh, come on. Choc orange is awesome.
It's ridiculous. Fruit and chocolate should not be mixed. Ever.
What about Rocky Road?
No, because
fruit
gets in the way of nuts.
Rum and raisin. That's a classic.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm a big fan of rum and raisin.
I'm not having it. No deal. It's like when I have ice cream. Any other flavour other than chocolate is sacrilege. I'm that kid person who ate one flavour in the Neapolitan, and that was me.
Right.
It was you!
Mike, would you go for the strawberry or the vanilla? Bad luck, I'm taking the strawberry. You're stuck with the vanilla.
I don't care. Because you know what? There's always that little bit of chocolate and that little bit of strawberry that you just mix it together.
I don't want it. I'm not racist or anything, but I don't want them on my side of the bus.
You are such a ice cream tub is half full kind of guy, Mike.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I throw Milo in for good measure.
Oh, wow.
How did I become diabetic? Find out after this short break.
I do think it's a miracle that I wasn't diabetic because I would make for dessert, and Mum and Dad never stopped it. What I would make, there would always be 3 scoops of ice cream. I would put chocolate quick, and hundreds and thousands on top of it. Ice magic. But the 100,000 would be before the ice magic, so they would be cemented on top,
right,
as opposed to decorative.
That's a really cool
idea. And
then
I would add a Freddo frog and a caramello koala and a flake. How am I not diabetic?
That was more chocolate bars than ice cream.
That was every 1 or 2 nights a week. It's a miracle.
Are you not diabetic?
Just fat.
I think you did all right if you're not diabetic still.
As I sit here drinking red wine, it's homemade.
Now, I don't know if it's true, but there have been a few joke emails going around, a few joke memes, and there was talk of, like, you know, a baked bean dairy milk.
No. Oh, do you know what my favourite one was? The dairy milk flavour that was marriage equality, not available in Australia.
That was good. It was well played.
I don't want to get political on the whole marriage equality thing, but I am a poofter and I love my shit that way. And I've just got to say, there's nothing more hysterical than watching the current landscape in Australia with everyone trying to jump on the good shit marriage equality suddenly. It's like, you guys, for fuck's sake, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It has been a bit of an upswing.
It's
this
ridiculous.
Week.
Yeah. But more importantly in the news has been the leaked pictures of Batman in Suicide Squad.
Yes,
so we talked about this last week and then promptly deleted it. So we were talking about that there have been photos on set of someone draped in a black cloth moving around doing stuff. No one really knew exactly. But if you look closely at the photos, it looked very much like they were wearing the Batman outfit because they had the grey legs and the black boots being visible and the pointy ears, which is a bit of a dead giveaway, really.
Bit of a giveaway.
So that was last week. Now, we talked about that. We're saying it looks like Batman's in Suicide Squad. And this week, we've now got pictures of the Joker and Harley Quinn in a flashy sports car and Batman sitting on top like some kind of god-awful scary hood ornament.
Now, what I'm thinking, now, one of two things, because one, there is no cape, which could mean are they going to be doing a bit of a CGI job on his cape while he is going in the car?
Is that a question? Because I don't have an answer.
Were you asking about the cape?
I was asking about the cape.
It does look like it's going to be a CGI job.
It's a CGI cape.
Orange dots, I think they are, on his costume.
They were orange dots just under the clear, so I'm thinking yes.
I'm thinking it's a cape or it's like a
But how
glider.
Else would you get the cape blowing in the wind? Like, when you think about it, for them to be able to film the way they're going to film, the car's not going to be going at the speed that they're going to want it to.
Well, I don't know. It looks like there's wires on Ben Affleck as well, so maybe he's being brought down onto the car.
I just want to say, he better be as buff out of that suit as he looks in it, otherwise I'm going to be very
Apparently he has gone, like, you know, brick shit house. He's, in the words of Kevin Smith, I believe.
He does look pretty big, so I'm with you, Dean. If he's that big as Bruce Wayne, then yeah, he's good.
More power to him. You know what else is exciting? What's his name from Clerks is coming to Australia and stuff.
Yeah, I'll be seeing him. Yes,
I gotta
indeedy.
Say, I disagree. I'm not a fan of his anymore.
What's his name?
Because I want to fight you, Mike.
Someone's
That's
phone is vibrating.
Oh, it might have been me, actually.
All right, it's not me.
Guys.
Mitch from All Star Comics.
What's he saying? It's like, come and pick up your comics, fucker.
No, he's put something into the not so secret super society of comics. What did you write, Mitch?
What did you write? No, it's live. It's live tweeting with Mitch.
It is.
This is exciting. It's breaking recording.
20% off all single issues and trade paperback stock tag sales starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Nice.
So today, when the episode goes up, that means this weekend at All Star Comics, there's a good sale to get yourself in on.
There you go.
There. You heard it first here, guys. Jump into All Star Comics.
Aren't you glad that we've got the buzzing and now you've got this information?
It's all worked out.
We couldn't have planned it better. This is excellent. So, yeah, what were we talking about? Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm liking the look of it.
I don't know the look of it. I am actually totally excited for this film. I'm more excited for this than I am for Batman and Superman.
That's interesting, because it also comes out before Batman and Superman, doesn't it?
Oh, who knows?
I've no idea.
I've lost track of time now. But to be honest, guys, I did just mislead you. We were talking about Kevin Smith.
You don't care, and you care.
Yeah.
Let's begin.
I think Kevin Smith has become an excellent director, and I mean that in the highest possible sense. I saw Red State a few years ago with a good friend. We both came out of that convinced that we hadn't actually gone to see the Kevin Smith film we intended to, because it was so unlike anything else he did, and it was wonderful. It was really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it felt a bit like a Coen Brothers film.
Okay.
Because I've always felt that Kevin Smith's comedy is really heavy-handed. There's no subtlety to the gags. It's all very much in your face. It's, for better or worse, you can't miss it. In this one, there was only a few gags, and they were played so subtly. It was not what I expected at all, and I thought that was brilliant. But him as a person, I've seen him a couple of times live now, and I don't need to see him.
You're not feeling it?
No.
Well, I haven't seen him live yet, so I think I'm granted one.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. That's a big difference.
I don't know if I care yet, because all I care about is my holiday.
Well, that's a good point, Dean. You are going on holiday.
In less than a month, I will be doing Watcher recordings from London. I guess I will just be editing the episodes that you guys are doing and adding myself into it.
Absolutely. And we're going to be able to tell, because you'll have an accent, won't you?
It'll be a bit like this. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hello, dear. How are you? I am watching from the United Kingdom, and it is tops.
I was expecting something a little more Cockney.
Well, a bit more. I could do a bit more Jane Edna. Hello, Potter.
I like this. I like this.
I live in a colonial home.
We've got a bit more Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins. This way. Works for me.
Yeah, go for the authentic Dick Van Dyke.
I will make sure each episode of Watcher while I'm away will end with a UK correspondence.
Perfect. just what we need.
Sounds good. Yeah.
We're looking forward
international,
to it.
International. I think we're going there.
Totes ints.
Dean Arcuri, international man of Julie Andrews mystery. I like it a lot. Yeah. Okay, so that's Kevin Smith. So you're looking forward to seeing him?
Yes, I am.
What's he doing here? Is it sort of promotional?
Well, it's more of the just talking about... There are two acts. The first act is going to be a bit of a... talking about films, stories from films, all that kind of stuff. Act two, apparently, is a bit of a Q&A. So that's what I've got in my head. So we'll see how it plays out on the night.
Well, we expect a full report afterwards. And when is it?
Or else.
It
or
is over. September 21st.
Yeah. September 21st. And is their ticket still available?
They only went on sale on Wednesday, but they sell a lot.
Yeah.
So if you do want to go see Kevin Smith, guys, you better jump in quick.
Could I just say one thing? One thing I didn't know about Ticketmaster was that if you find out about the pre-sale, you need to actually register for it 2 days prior. So I'm kind of gone going, all right, I know about the pre-sale. I'm jumping in there. And then found out I couldn't do anything because I hadn't registered 2 days prior. But I only found out the day before.
So the pre-sale, which is when they sell the tickets early, need to get into even earlier to register interest in the pre-sale.
Exactly.
Wow, that's getting absurd.
That is a bit ridiculous. Other news that I know we'll talk about in the Watcher Watching, but the Supergirl pilot leaked.
Yes, now I haven't seen that yet, guys, but...
Well, we'll talk about it in Watcher Watching.
All right.
It was quite good.
All right.
That's all I said. Jeez. That's all I said.
Some people.
I stopped.
Good on you. Cool. Okay.
Super.
I'm trying to think what other news we talked about last week that could tie into it, but I'm letting it go.
Well, there was a change in the team.
Oh, shit, yeah. Sorry. We did talk about it last week, so now we forget that we haven't addressed it here. We are one watcher down. Nate is no longer on the Watcher podcast. He's chosen to step away from that. And you may have noticed in the last 2 weeks, actually, of recordings, he hasn't actually been in them. And in that time, he's chosen to move on to bigger and brighter things. So we wish Nate well in all his endeavours. And that's pretty much that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we did talk last week, so now I feel like I'm like, oh, kind of here you go.
Destroyed that episode, but that's it, and wish him all the best for everything. So,
yeah.
Nate, we hope you're still listening.
Yes, you better be. We need all the listeners we can get. Okay, I felt that right between the shoulder blades. How'd you do that?
You're keeping us afloat.
All right, now, some more news that I've got is Chris Pine.
He could be Steve Trevor.
That's right.
Chris Wonder Woman. He's the guy who is Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Star Trek movies.
We covered B. Shoot the girl.
Is he the first Trekkie to make it into a superhero universe then?
Wait. Define that comment before we answer.
DC or Marvel cinematic universes. Right. Have we had any other Trekkies in yet? Because
I want you to think about that for a second.
Okay. Blank.
No.
Oh, I got it. Well, I got one. It took me a second. Kirk's dad.
Well, that wasn't what I was going to say. Think about who's Gamora.
Who's Gamora?
In Guardians.
Oh, Guardians. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's right.
Uhura. So we've actually got Kirk's dad, Kirk, and Uhura. Wow, I feel like an idiot now.
It's a Kirk connection.
Loser.
There really is a Kirk connection.
Why are there so many songs about Kirk?
So does this mean that DC and Marvel are both going to be in a bidding war now for Zachary Quinto because they want Spock?
Nah.
Who can he play anyway? Like, who would he work as?
Well, we know that he's not going to be in Heroes. Isn't it a prequel? Or I don't know what it is, but Parkman's going to be in it because he's done nothing since Alias. Or maybe because he's done Heroes. And Hiro Nakamura. And that's it.
He'll be back.
Now, did any of those guys end up doing anything outside of Heroes ever?
Oh, yeah. The guy who's Hiro Nakamura is on Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, good.
And Parkman moved on to something else.
He was also on Get Smart.
Yeah, like they all continue to work. Heroes was a good launching pad for them. The downside of it was that basically it was just not good after that.
Right.
But for them, it was great. Wow. It really set Zachary Quinto up.
Whole issue with the whole writer's strike at that time, and a lot, there were a lot of casualties at that time too. I mean, a lot of
the writer's strike. That was a issue, but the issue was the direction Krieg wanted to take it, and people didn't respond to it. Remember, there was Heroes, Desperate Housewives, Lost. Everyone had solid first seasons, and their second seasons bombed.
Hmm.
Let's just remember as well, the writer's strike may have given us some dodgy but good stuff on TV, Pushing Daisies, but it also gave us Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Fucking writers. Anyway.
The less said about that, the better. Hey.
Revenger, right? Revenger, my wallet.
Yes. Right. So, is there any other news, guys?
I think we've covered it all.
That's it for me.
Let's move it on. Let's go
sounds
into
like a two Ronnie sketch for some reason, but okay.
Let's jump straight into what you're reading, and let's start with Mike. What are you reading, Mike?
Well, my major read at the moment is all of the Convergence titles.
That's quite a heavy reading list.
And how many have you bought as opposed to read?
I've probably read half. I've really made a big effort to try and get through them. But as I said in the other episode, it's a big case of they've had to take on at least 20% of a main script where they would establish where they are, then have the big booming voice telling them, you must fight each other.
Oh, that's right, because we said this last week. And
that's it. So it's quite repetitive. And there isn't a lot of room to move about, you know, apart from do we fight, do we not fight, apart from, you know, we see a couple of things going on. But there haven't really been any standout stories for me. So
really? No, set because I've actually got my... I'll show you guys after we've recorded the episode. I've got my pile of Convergence titles to read.
Yeah.
I've got a whole section of stuff that's not Marvel. It's a mixture of DC, Valiant, Image and stuff. I went into All-Stars with the sole ambition of, if the cover looks interesting, I will buy it, especially if there's issue number one there. And I came out with a whole lot of stuff. So you're about to start. Before I leave for the UK, you're going to hear some... you're going to hear some interesting comic book reviews from me.
Okay.
Good. Looking forward to it.
I feel bad that there's already one Australian one that I'm like, this was shit, and I don't know how to do that in a way that's not making for someone who wrote it and created it cry.
Got to make it constructive, Dean. We've got to look for the good and the bad, then.
Okay, I'll try.
The expression said it all.
Yeah, I'll try.
But just to kind of, I suppose, finish off on that, it was nice seeing some old artists come back on. Like, it's always good to go into a book not knowing who's involved. I tend to go straight in, not who's on the front cover.
But Convergence just isn't hitting it for you?
Not for me. It was more cool seeing some old characters, you know, back in the previous universe. It was good seeing artists like Tom Mandrake, who I haven't seen in years. And I kind of opened the book and went, hang on. Turned back and went, ah, it is Mandrake. Tom Grummett, I think, was one of the artists on... which title was it? I can't remember. But just a lot of familiar art back on the pages, which was kind of nice. So it's, I would have loved to have seen some Breyfogle, but we all know the situation he's in at the moment, so that wasn't going to happen. Mm. But yeah.
I'm just going to pretend I don't know what you're talking about.
He had a stroke last year.
Fuck, okay.
Yeah.
It's really full on.
So he's in recovery. He's doing quite well.
Thumbs up to him.
He's actually gotten back onto Facebook and he's managing that. But be good to see him back. Mainly that. That's it from me for Convergence. I'm waiting for the next issue of Turtles, which I think came out this week. Ooh. So I will talk about that next week.
Okay, well, before... I don't want to dive into Secret Wars yet. And I want to touch on something that can then tie into Nick's watching. Ooh. Nick, I read Batman.
Oh.
And after two episodes ago, you encouraging me to read it and me being quite excited, I'm very, very, very disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
All of Endgame.
Okay.
And a couple of issues as well before, just to make sure I was getting a good feel and tone for it so I wasn't just jumping onto the event. And I could not have... It was harder to read than porn. Like, it was just so hard. I really struggled to... Only because I knew where it ended did I push myself through this. And it was a push. Like, honestly... I don't understand why it was so good.
Was it the structure? Because it is a kind of a funny back.
I didn't enjoy the structure. And personally, for me, I didn't enjoy Batman and the Joker being... And okay, if you don't know by now, it's been...
Spoiler alert!
You should. That was a British spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
I think we're alerted.
We got there. He's dead.
Yes.
But I just... creating the Joker and Batman into these two mythical entities and giving it almost a Merlin versus the Dragon type emotion ruins both the characters for me.
Okay, all right.
Because for me, there's always a dark and gritty term to them, but the supernatural element that was tied into this, the energy and the way the story was structured, I really struggled with it.
Right.
Tell me why you didn't.
I think it's because of the exact reasons you just pointed out, which is... terribly awful, but it's true. It's for me, the Batman's always been kind of more than human-y because he does have that kind of mythological feel in Gotham. They always talk about how Gotham needs a Batman. That's why things like Batman Beyond happened.
I'm going to let you talk.
Yeah, that's all right. So I see him as still the human part of that equation because he does die.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a nice way of dealing with the fact that there are so many times the Joker should have died, should have been written out, and yet he's always come back. And the fact that there's still ambiguity to that, and it was really, you know, sort of... there's that quote from Arkham Asylum, I think it is, where the Joker says, if I have to have an origin, I prefer it's multiple choice.
Killing Joke.
Killing Joke, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
It still feels to me like it's playing into that idea of, this may not be the case, but we can't be sure.
I just didn't... there's something about the way this story was structured, something that just really, really didn't work for me. And part of it is the simple fact that we're introduced in this such way that Batman's attacked by the Justice League and somehow manages to handle that. And they've all been infected by the Joker. And it's just, there was just too much in it that by the time we get to this final point, I'm like, are you kidding me? The one bit that actually worked for me and felt very Batman-esque as opposed to a lot of the rest of it,
yeah,
was the fact that when the Joker was battling Batman and realized that it was Dick. And that was golden. And that to me, and then Batman's actually doing the real mission, and that to me was everything.
Yeah.
But that element and that feel was not during the rest of the run. And trying to create the Joker and Batman into this never ending ethos, it really ruined it, they are, but it's, you've got to remember that it's dark and gritty and crimey. I think now the way he's telling the stories, there is this whole, it's like it's the Bible and it's not working for me.
That's fair enough. I have been saying that I feel that Snyder's one of the first creators in forever who's been able to do his Batman end to end, and so for me, I've sort of been able to take that and exclude all the other stuff around it and just say, this is Snyder's Batman.
Yeah.
So if he kills him and that's the end of the story.
I mean, no, and I get it, but for me, every time I pick it up again because someone tells me something that seems really interesting, I put it down and go, I remember why I did not enjoy this and why I kept putting the rundown.
Yep.
But I don't want to because it's Batman.
It is Batman.
Anyway.
Well, no, it's pretty cool. We'll have to agree to disagree, I think. Well,
I don't accept.
Can I just say one thing though? Now, no. With the whole...
With
the whole death of Joker and Batman in this scenario at the moment.
Well, yeah.
And now you've got... Now, I think people be aware of that. I've said spoiler alert already, so... I don't
know if Dean's got this one, though.
Jim Gordon.
Oh, well, I read it. Like,
okay, all right, yep.
Yeah, well, Jim Gordon is now going to be the new Gotham Batman in a robotic suit and all this kind of thing.
I am bad.
Really?
Right. So that's the new step going forward, because really? Snyder was like, he wanted a whole new direction.
Wait, now, has that happened in the comics yet?
Not yet, no. It's happening. But
I don't think you can stop them. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. They had a bit of a thing at the end. You had a bit of a thing at the end where you had a guy with crutches and a kid with an R. And you're kind of like, well, is that Bruce and Damien? You know, is Bruce healing? But I kind of like the idea that this whole convergence thing, what's stopping there from being another Batman from another timeline stepping in? Even a previous Batman from the previous universe.
I'm like, Iron Bat, are you kidding me?
I made that one up then.
No, but come on. really?
I'm choosing to ignore it. I'm going to see what... the commish does with
oh my god, Batman. We totally, I mean, but this Snyder needs to change his style completely. Like, and he won't. This really upsets me,
but I really hope Convergence brings us an old bat.
I'm willing to stick with it simply because every other time they've done something crazy, I've liked where it ended up. So yep. If they're going to do a Jim Gordon in armor for now, it's only because they've got an endpoint, which
I know, but why couldn't that be having Batman Beyond drawn into our time and having him to be,
you know,
Batman,
what's happened now to McGinnis,
and having
don't
no
you?
Connection.
There's something going on there.
Spoil me again.
Oh, really?
What's happened?
Well, Tim Drake has been pulled into the future and is now Batman Beyond.
I'm so bored by this.
See, which is kind of sad in a way, because I would have liked to have seen Tim Drake return to his...
What happened to Terry?
Terry died during the...
Terry goes killed in Future's End.
Yeah.
Why?
Because people die.
It was Terry sad.
But look, Convergence, if no one's seen the spoilers about Convergence ending yet,
it'd be more interesting for Tim, because isn't Tim the Joker in that universe?
Technically.
So there's an interesting story to play on.
But now time has changed.
Yeah, this is a bit flash.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
All right, I'm letting this go because I think we should. Everything that annoys me about DC.
Before we finish the what you're reading, before Dean jumps into what you're reading, I just want to let everyone know.
Your reading first.
Well, I haven't. That's the problem. This week I've been doing an awful lot of watching, but not so much reading.
You said that.
Have you read that yet?
Well, I'm in front of me, guys. I've got Earth 1 Volume 2. Now, I just picked this up this afternoon and I was a huge fan of Volume 1.
Yes.
Keep talking. I'm getting.
And I'm really looking forward to Volume 2 simply because it's Geoff Johns doing a take on Batman. And we haven't had much of that ever, but Geoff Johns has a fantastic way of taking an existing character and reinvigorating their what makes them important.
Was he part? Did he do part one?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he also did Green Lantern Rebirth and Flash Rerun. What it's called? I don't know. Respawn. Point being is he's done a really great job of bringing these existing Silver Age DC characters and really giving them a real kick.
Mm.
So yeah.
And I'll just say I'm not going to say anything about it. I've already read it. And I really enjoyed it.
Good. Well, we can talk about this next time.
Yes.
We will confer.
I look forward to it.
Maybe you and I will disagree this time.
I love the artwork. Gary Frank is really great, and his rendition of all the characters is really good once again. It continues the story from Volume 1, and I really enjoyed it. They threw a few twists. So, once again, it's not the same world.
Yep.
But yeah, I think you will enjoy it.
Look, if there is any scene that rivals the exploding grappling hook from the first one, I'll be very happy. But that's all for me. So, Dean, what are you reading?
Okay, well, I want to talk about Secret Wars. I'm going to get into a rapid review on all the first issues of Secret Wars that have come out in the past 2 weeks. But first,
and for those who can't see, Dean has got a stack as big as a small child in front of him. A
very small child. It's a pretty big kid. That kid needs to lose some weight. I am going to first touch on Secret Wars issues number 1 and number 2. Now, I talked about this last week, but stuff it, we're doing it again. I'm loving the crap out of this. Essentially, the first issue of Secret Wars is it's the end of the world. World as we know it, as the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe Earths are colliding into each other. They're the last two universes left in the Earth, and they're colliding into each other and will be no more. And essentially, and this is what's been building in the Avengers storylines and coming together in a really, really brilliant way. And really what's interesting that happens is Doom and Doctor Strange and the... I can't remember. He's not important. He just gets brought out every now and then. Are talking to the Beyonders and trying to stop them from destroying everything. We have trapped the villainous Illuminati on the Ultimate Earth and are trying to destroy it. They're coming, trying to destroy us. It's a battle royale as everyone's fighting the shit out of each other. You're seeing heroes that we know and love and have known for years in both universes dying before your eyes. And then the kids from the Fantastic Four and Reed Richards create a lifeboat where it's taking only the people that they need, grabbing them, teleporting them on, and away they go. And as this battle is going on, this story is continuing. The heroes that get teleported are like Sue Richards, Spider-Man, of course, Captain Marvel, just before she's trying to stop something from happening, Star-Lord, and you're just like, holy crap, like that.
This sounds like a who's who. Like, it really
it's
is
great,
everyone,
like it's really it? Ripping who it can to save them, because this is the only hope that they've got. And then as the worlds are ending, the life raft gets destroyed and Reed Richards sees, it gets detached, and Reed Richards sees Sue and the kids killed in front of his eyes.
Oh.
And then the world ends.
Well, that's dark.
It's so dark and so strong. And that was issue 1. And I was like, holy shit.
So just before you jump into the next one, this sounds like DC and Marvel are both doing a really good job of wiping stuff out at the same
time.
Cleansing.
Like, is that a bit like Deep Impact like and Armageddon coming out at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So here's interesting take, especially in the first week or so that Marvel have had in this new universe, because they have had at the end of issue 1, it's the end of the Marvel universe, it's the end of the Ultimate Universe, and it says Secret Wars, the last remaining universes collided. The heroes of Earth 616 and Earth 1610 were powerless to stop it. The final incursion destroyed everything in existence except God Emperor Doom.
God Emperor Doom.
And here's the
slight promotion from Doctor.
Good work. Because Doom, what we realize in issue number 2, which is exploring the Thor corpse, a young Thor comes into his power, and all the Thors from the multiverse are a part of this, and they all worship the god Doom.
Oh,
and Doom,
okay. Right.
And I need to, I don't know how to explain it. And it's kind of goes, there was nothing, there was everything, and then there was Battleworld, and then we were saved. And Battleworld is a patchwork planet filled of all these different collections, the scraps of the multiverse that are left, pieced and shoved together and held together by the will of Doom. I think. Let me give you a better explanation. I'm literally going to go for
I am a little surprised that someone with the ego the size of Doom and has Doombots and everything, Doomstart, he didn't call it Doomworld.
Let me explain. Well, the heroes, but in Doom, the way we've experienced Doom so far, in issue number 2, basically, is this Thor going around seeing what the other universes are like. And really, this is our introduction to this world. And it's for the will of Doom, we are saved. And then basically, there are people within each domain. That the one rule Doom has is you can't cross domains without permission. The Thors have that.
Okay.
But people can't cross into others. Everyone must stay in their domain, and it's up Domains. To a regent within each domain to make sure that the law and the law is maintained. Not Doom, he's up to other people. And if it's not done, then those people are cast out of Battleworld and into the other side of the wall, which is where all the vampires and villains and all the things that are going to kill you are.
So Doom has separated all the villainous
stuff out. Doom's created a shield, apparently. But all it says is Doom created a shield to keep them at bay, a shielded wall to keep them at bay. And if you disobey the laws, then you get sent over. And we experience Brian Braddock's brother, who he admits that he broke a law, and Doom goes, well, then you're gone. And he, you know, dies. And it's like, this is really... But it's not in this evil Machiavellian way. It's because Doom is just... It's really intense, and it's something that's weighing on Doom. Let me give you the explanation that's in all the single issues. It says, the multiverse was destroyed. The heroes of Earth 616 and Earth 1610 were powerless to save it. Now all that remains is Battleworld, a massive patchwork planet composed of the fragments of the worlds that no longer exist, maintained by the iron will of its god and master, Victor Von Doom. Each domain holds its own mystery and enchantments. And it's really, and well, that says, but none so much than New York and ties into the story. But it's really interesting because you've got all these little stories going on here, there, and everywhere. And Doom is never, it's never, Doom, you evil, malevolent person, because Doom, everyone knows that their world's ended. Everyone's really aware that this is not their home anymore. And it's not like each fractured place is a section of the multiverse. Hmm. They're mixtures of it. So they know that their world is gone, and it's only thanks to Doom that they've still been able to survive. And Doom's advisors are Sue Richards, Valeria from our time, and Dr. Doom.
So it really does sound like this is a really benevolent thing for Doom to have done. Because, like, what's in it for him? Oh, well, I guess you could flip that and say he's always wanted to rule the world, and this way he is ruling the world. Maybe he was never a bad guy as a ruler.
But no. Mm. It's really interesting because from the Secret Wars issues, it's not like this was Doom's plan.
Oh, I don't think it was.
And Doom's done what he's can, and it's really interesting. It's just. I mean, I don't know where that's going to go yet. We don't know where Reed is in this universe. Uh-huh. At the end of issue number 2 of Secret Wars, what's really interesting is there's something that's come up, and they're like, "Oh my god!" And the Thors turn around and go, "This section is heretic." This section does not conform to religion, and it must therefore be quarantined and sealed off, and no one can ever come into it.
And what's the section?
The section is the Reed Richards from the Ultimate Universe with our Thanos and the bad Illuminati and Namor and everyone else. Their lifeboat survived.
Oh, well, that's a bit of a wrinkle in the plan.
So, whatever the plan is, so it's really interesting because we still haven't really had any Doom soliloquies or anything yet. It's just
pretty unlike Doom.
Exactly. It's really interesting and it's really great. I'm loving the tone and direction of it. Now I'm going to dive into my rapid review of the first issues that have come out so far. So,
brace rapid yourselves. Review.
Okay, and we're starting off with Ultimate End issue number 1, which is Battleworld. This is the one that's closest to the characters that we know. It's the characters of the Ultimate Universe and Earth 616 who are all together in Manhattan. And it's really kind of hilarious. This is obviously written by Bendis, and our Spider-Man is really freaking out because everyone knows that he's Peter Parker. And he's like, people know who I am here. What the fuck? And you actually have the Avengers and the Ultimates meet for a meeting, and Nick Fury's trying to go, we've got to figure out. And it's really interesting because they actually have a conversation about, we've got to figure out how to fix this, or do we, or can we, or what can we do? Like, if everyone, it's this thing going, are we just trapped with this, and this is the way that it needs to go? Because everyone knows that if you try to cross into another domain, you're thrown to the dogs. So it's this whole, and it's just this great fun story that ties into the elements of both universes. I mean, it's got the comedy of Spider-Man, which I think is fantastic. And what's more interesting, when you have our Iron Man talking to Tony Stark in the Ultimate Universe, who is a drunk, and they're having this kind of conversation. It's really fun and great. Secret Wars Spider-Verse issue number 1. It's the characters that have been the most popular from the Spider-Verse, and they're all in a Manhattan. But in this Manhattan, there is no Peter Parker.
Okay. So it's a Spider-Man book with Spider-Man, but no Peter Parker.
Not our Spider-Man, sorry, but all the other Spider-Mans from the Spider-Verse series that happened over the past year.
Okay.
And what's really interesting is in this one, that the mayor of New York is Norman Osborn.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, and what's really great, and he obviously does... Spider-Man was around and then disappeared, and these Spider-Men are here, and Norman Osborn's controlling everything, and obviously a little bit evil. And it's these spider characters kind of coming together because they don't know who to trust. And then they Gwen Stacy breaks into Oscorp and finds Spider-Pig hooked up to a machine. It's cool and it's great. And this is one of the things that I'm really enjoying about this. Yes, some of them are characters we know and enjoy. Some of them aren't. But each series is very different. It's really got its own tone and story. And because everything else is ended in the Marvel Universe, I'm really excited that they've really not touching into everything that I know and love. The Masters of Kung Fu is a personal favorite. What happens when the rings versus the fist come together and in a form of power? And basically every 9 years, someone can battle the current person in power, and if they beat them, then they become in charge. Mm-hmm. And the Master of Kung Fu, his dad's been trying to kill him because he's obviously the only threat that he can be, so he's actually just a drunk, even though he's actually awesome at Kung Fu. And it's just a ton
of Jackie Chan,
a great story. But what's even more interesting is that the characters that are a part of the Resistance are all mutants in our universe. And it's nice that they're using characters that don't necessarily fit into the Kung Fu universe and tying it all together.
That's a cool idea.
It's really good. Deadpool's Secret Wars, issue number one. These are all issue number one. Deadpool's Secret Wars is what happens in the Secret Wars that happened in the 80s if Deadpool was there.
And this Deadpool's does not like, surprise me at all.
So, and it's so funny because the issue starts with everyone being dead but Deadpool. And he's like, but guys, should we do this? And I'm totally a hero like you guys, right? But not that Magneto. And it's literally putting him into all these classic stories. And a lot of these have great backstory, other stories in the back that fill out the universe a little bit more. And it's just hilarious. And I love the shit out of it. Planet Hulk. A lot of people told me they weren't going to read this because they don't like Hulk. But really, we know there's a planet that everyone has been turned... There's a section of Battle World where everyone's been turned into Hulks. This is so a
Not just Bruce Banner, it's Hulks of any kind.
Everyone. And you find out at the end, a bomb is about to blow everything up. And Cho stops that from happening. But in doing that, he releases a gamma shield where everyone turns green and everyone thinks everyone's okay. And then they all Hulk out.
Right.
But what's really interesting is that you've essentially got a gladiator character, which is the Captain America of this time, and Devil Dinosaur. And he's basically been tasked to Planet Hulk to find out what happened to Bucky, because Bucky was sent there. And Bucky was sent there, and if he succeeded in his mission of killing the Hulk, then Cap would be set free, and now Cap's been given that same offer. So it's quite interesting.
Good luck, Cap.
A-Force is an all-girl Avengers.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. The artwork is really, really great. And it's nice to have these female characters all tied together. This is the one that really touched on the emotional concept of what it's like to be in this Doom world more than any other book. Basically, they've got the female Avengers patrolling the borders, and then one of them, Miss America, I think it is, she accidentally throws a shark over to the Deadlands, which you're not allowed to do, and damages the shield. And that and the Thors come, and it's like, I'm sorry, you've something's crossed the barrier because of you, so you have to be punished. So she gets removed from there, and it's either killed or has to man the shield for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that's
so she
terrible gets... that series has jumped the shark already.
But it's really interesting because this one has touched on the emotional context in a really good way. But it's great artwork and a really fun story.
So
it does look nice.
I'm hooked on that idea though. Do we know what her decision is? Death
it's not a
decision.
Shield? She doesn't get a choice. She gets told.
Oh.
It's not, you don't get to choose. And they're like, we know you were fighting in honor, but this is the law and it's the will of doom. You damage the shield. You threw something over. There's no exceptions. So you have to go.
Wow. Okay.
So she gets taken away by the Thors. It's just, and that's the thing. It's like there isn't no one to, and this one really touches on the emotional context of that, which is great. Secret Wars Battle World is a bit of a mixed pot of different universes. What's really great about this one is Stephen Strange was dying, so he hooked his soul to the Punishers, and the Punisher hates that, but and they're trying to kill both the Punisher and Stephen Strange, so you've got Wolverine, and they're acting on Doom's behalf because he's jumping to different Battle World sections.
Wait, does this mean we have a magic Punisher?
Yeah. And it's great because he's saying a spell while throwing an astral grenade. And it's very cool. And then he dies and Stephen Strange hooks himself to Wolverine.
Know, they say, do what you know.
It's really fantastic. And also we have a great one where Madook brings all the Madooks from the multiverse together and goes, we can surely destroy everything if we work together. And then they're just all selfish. And it's like, what? And it's just great and a great comedy story. Inhumans, Attilian Rising touches on the area where the Inhumans are in charge and Medusa is the leader. And essentially there's resistance against Doom and the Thors are trying to stop it. So Doom threatens Medusa and says, you have to, if you don't do this, I'll get someone else to do it. And she has to confront Black Bolt, who owns a bar, the Inhumans are rising within the universe, but it's a nice touch and a nice story. The Infinity Gauntlet number one is what happens if our world is destroyed. Earth was taken over by bugs, and the chick who was the Nova, she went into the universe to fight with the Nova Corps, and her family is barely surviving. This African American family eating dog food, doing what they can. They're all about to be killed. Her daughter's about to be killed, and they think she thinks her mother's dead, and then her mother returns home as a Nova, and the daughter finds an Infinity Gem, and Thanos is trapped on Earth trying to get them all. Inferno number one. What if Manhattan from Inferno in the 80s stayed as Manhattan Inferno? And this is a really interesting story where Colossus makes a deal with Cyclops. There's a dome over Manhattan. And Colossus makes a deal with Cyclops and says, I will man the dome for 364 days of the year if on the day that we retreated from Manhattan, I can go back in to try to save my sister.
Okay.
And he does that. And then last year, Cyclops was dismayed... put in a wheelchair, it was made disabled, and Jean became the Phoenix, and all this stuff because it was a battle that ended. He found Alana, and she turned into Darkchild and broke his arm.
Right.
And now this is the final mission. It's like he's given one more chance, and he's going to do it. And they've kidnapped Nightcrawler, and they're like, "We've set you up." It's really great and cool. Madoc, MODOK the Assassin, issue number one is in Killville. Which is where MODOK has killed all the heroes, so it's just lots and lots of villains. MODOK is the last line of defense, and he stops the Sentinels from Mutantville coming into Killville and keeps killing them. And this is hilarious. MODOK kills Bullseye, and everyone hates him because he's so constantly talking about himself and everything. And MODOK's like, but I'm the most killable, and I am fantastic, and you love me. And it's just really funny and cool. And the issue ends with Angela, Thor's sister, landing into that area. And he's like, I love her, but I should try to kill her.
That sounds mad.
It's really cool. Like, it's really great. Secret Wars Journal is touching on another couple of stories from the universe. This is on a version of the Young Avengers in medieval times. It's very cute and very fun, and I really enjoyed it. Plus, it also has a great story of the mutants in the Moon Knight universe, where everyone worships the god of the moon.
Khonshu.
And Khonshu protects them, but they don't want to be slaves anymore, so they try to kill Khonshu. And they become Khonshu's conduits. And this, my personal favorite, I'm saying with us, there's Old Man Logan, which is Logan survived more. Everyone else is dying. There's Hulks around. It's like a spaghetti western, and it's fucking fantastic. The art is brilliant. The story is really great, and it really just sets his universe. And I think the end of it is him climbing the wall to see what's on the other side. Secret Wars 2099 is Peter David creating some futuristic characters in the 2099 universe. I love it. It's really cool. It's just lots of fun. Like, I don't know what else to say other than I really enjoy that story. Hercules is an alcoholic. Captain America is a chick. And she also has the Falcon's wings. And it's they're all controlled by in Alchemech by Miguel, who is Spider-Man 2099.
All right, okay. Yeah. Nice tie-in.
The final one, which is my favorite, is Where Monsters Dwell. The Phantom Eagle flies to the savage skies, and this is we're essentially reading a story of like a 1930s gigolo who's just shagged a island woman, and she's like, now that I'm pregnant, if you don't marry me, I'll be sent to the Isle of Dung, so can we get married? And he's like, of course, my love. Like, I'll look after you. Let me just go and get you some water. And then hops in his plane and flies off the island. And he's like, well, I'm never going back there, so it's not going to be a problem. And and then basically he finds this hot chick and is like, all right, I'm going to fly you where you need to go, wink, wink. And then as they're flying in the air, they go through a storm and they end up in the Savage Land. And pterodactyls and everything are ripping apart the plane. And it's just, it's like a great English rompy comedy. And the last page is the girl looking shocked. And he's like, oh, for God's sakes, what's the matter now? And he's leaning up on what he thinks is a tree. And it's actually a Tyrannosaurus Rex leg. And this is where I'm loving this. That Marvel are taking elements of these stories here, there, and everywhere that people have enjoyed or touched on. And the creators have free reign. They don't have to piece together the giant parts of the story. Some of them touch on Doom. Some of them feature Doom. Some of them factor in the fact that they're in Battleworld. And some of them don't mention it at all. And all these writers are getting a chance to just tell fun stories. They don't even need to be about the characters that we know.
It sounds great, because they really are just taking their ideas and going in any direction they want, aren't they?
Any direction they want.
Wow.
And it's great. I'm loving it. Like, I'm still currently planning to get the first issue of everything. I'll be in London while the second issue's come out, and I don't plan on getting any comics, but I'll still talk about stuff. Yep. But because it's me. But I haven't read a bad issue yet. The Inhuman ones was a little bit stale for me. I think that was because it didn't have that many Inhumans till the end.
Yeah.
But the last page was enough to make me go, oh, I can't wait for the next issue. But I'm really loving it. Like, right. It's just fun.
So I've got a big question to ask then. Has the 1602 universe turned up anywhere yet?
Which one's that?
That was the one where, oh, I can't remember how it happened, but somehow there was an anomaly or something back in the year 1602, and so all the superheroes began to appear.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
It is, but it's not in, it hasn't come out yet.
Right.
It is one of the books.
I'll wait and see then.
Yeah, there's a whole, I'll show you the category. I've got the whole list of them all after.
All right, we'll check that out.
But I'm really enjoying what they're doing. I'm really enjoying the stories that they're telling.
That's excellent.
Also because they're not interconnected or needing to be at all. Like, it's really, they sit within their own world and it's fine.
And so how many new titles are there?
I haven't written down the... Let me...
I'm just looking at the pile there thinking there's going to be a heap.
Yeah, well, they've cancelled every other title.
Yeah.
Like, everything else has stopped. So this is it. And it's great.
That's cool.
I mean, and it's interesting because obviously it's going to end at some point and we will be somewhere, wherever that may be. But it's really interesting because when I really think about it, in the past 6 months, creators and writers have really set up new characters. Like, even when we did our interview last year with Dan Slott, and he actually said, like, I'm really excited to... I know where I'm going to take the direction of Silver Surfer by issue number 25. Like, I'm really excited. And when I think about it, that comic got to 12 and it had nothing to do with the comic ending, was because of what was happening to the universe. So it's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, big stuff.
Huge.
Huge stuff.
I'm loving it sick, though.
Good to hear. And we look forward to hearing more about the other issue ones as
well.
Well,
when I'm in London, I'll be doing retro reviews because I think I'm going to get Marvel Unlimited so I can read old stuff.
That's a good idea. You can tie into some of the ideas that are coming through as well. See where they originated.
Yeah.
Give us the backstories.
A whole new world.
And some Disney.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, that's what we're reading. Let's jump into the next one, which is What You're Eating. Well, no, we've already done that.
Vegemite.
Yes, we have.
Well, I just want to say on the record, I liked it, and so did my mother, and she's English, and she hates Vegemite, so who knows what's going on there.
You're both crazy.
Well, yeah.
We are. But
they're great.
While we're talking about crazy things, let's talk about what we are watching. So, guys, Dean, first.
We need to talk about Flash, people.
Let's talk Flash.
Flash ended, and I rewatched it all again today and was like, oh, my God, I loved it. What a great way to end a season.
It's
fantastic.
Was
like,
awesome.
It shitted all over Arrow.
It was awesome. I haven't even watched Arrow yet because I still can't get down from the high of Flash.
Can I tell you? You're going to be disappointed. Yeah. I watched Arrow first for a reason because I knew I would be disappointed. I've been disappointed with Arrow all season. Let's touch on Arrow. What a disappointing season Arrow has been.
I think they made a tactical error by making the entire season 3 about death and the fallout of death.
Over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And I mean, look, and the ending that we had, oh, well, you don't know. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
But I'm not going to kind of say it for Mike. But the ending is an ending that they've written themselves into a corner, so they had no option but to take it there.
It's...
And what really upsets me is all these elements that they've touched on and used, surely they were going to be great jumping points for the future. Apparently not.
Look, I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt and say that there is a setup still coming.
I know, but they literally... I feel like they ripped away the entire setup.
It does feel, yeah, especially because the whole Ra's al Ghul storyline, without spoilers for Mike.
Which is hard.
They've really cribbed...
I will probably forget everything by the end of today.
You won't.
They've really taken a lot of the classic Batman Ra's stuff and just run with it. But the problem is that Green Arrow isn't Batman, and so you don't get the same kind
of... It just feels really... And it felt really laboured. And Ray Palmer didn't work for me at all.
I'm glad they got... Well, I shouldn't say they got rid of him. Well, I'm glad they moved him on.
Yeah, and we're all very... I mean, I'm excited to see Looks League good and there. See what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't help but think if they'd gone the path they initially meant to with Blue Beetle instead, so much better.
So much better.
Yeah, it would have been. I think it would have suited a lot better.
I think Brandon Routh could have played Blue Beetle a lot better.
Absolutely. I think he works as Blue Beetle. He does not work.
To actually see the blue and gold dynamic come out of that would have been fantastic.
You know what as well? It's what it is, and we're watching because he's been appearing in Flash, is that... The only time he works is when he's having fun.
Yes. And
that's the Blue
he's
Beetle.
He's a fun character, and that's the thing.
And it's the fun. And as an actor, when he's really... It's when he's enjoying it. And when he was in the Flash universe for that one episode, I got more out of him from a character in that than I got out of everything else in the entire season.
And I think you've hit it right in the head there, is that he is a lighter, fun character. Whereas everyone who works in Arrow is quite a grim, determined kind of person.
Which is why he'd work so well in the Flash universe.
Yeah.
It's the same universe, but in Flash's but world, it is a lot brighter.
It's why it was just such a nightmare in the one that he's in. But we'll see what happens with League of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Something like that.
I'm very, very happy to give them the benefit of the doubt and see how they go with that.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, look, despite talking about a lot of darkness there, let's talk about the darkness that was in Flash, but was just oh so awesome.
Was it not an amazing season finale? I don't have to miss that. And when you make, oh my God, so good. Okay. The fact that it was just all about the characters.
Yeah.
You know, like I still was like, I watched the final episode going, my heart, my fucking heart.
I think I tweeted about it saying that I was sucker punched, and then I sucker punched again and again and again, because every time something happened, they topped it.
Yeah.
To the end of it, it was an emotionally draining 45 minutes. I just had to go,
and then when you think about it, the end is him running into a black hole to try and stop it. And you're like, well, it's not going to end with him going, fixed it. What the fuck?
No, you know what I'm hoping?
What?
I only thought about this in the last few days. Season 2 is him trying to get back to his world.
I reckon you're right.
Quantum Leap style.
No. No, I think you're right, actually, because they've been saying that next season is going to be focusing on time. And,
yes.
And we've already been given hints of parallel universes.
But all of the characters
we've
that
seen
we know,
Jay's helmet.
We've seen Killer Frost.
We've seen Killer Frost.
But all of the characters that we know, like they can't not have them.
Well, there's some interesting things going on, because they've already confirmed Tom Cavanaugh's coming back somehow.
Yes.
Now, for everyone who's seen the episode, there's very little chance of it being the same character.
Well,
maybe after
that guy dies, then his life force is re-imbued back into his body.
Yeah, well, someone else is pointing out
to me that
yeah, same
they've
here.
Changed the timeline in multiple ways. Like, this is something that only hit me this week, is that they've mentioned a few times, and it only clicked when I realized how young Grant Gustin is, but he was supposed to become the Flash in 2020.
Yeah.
So they've actually brought that whole thing 6 years forward, which means... Mm-hmm. Everything.
This whole year, this whole timeline isn't what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I love that they've done that. Like, it's so
when you
smart.
Sort of put that together, you sort of go, "Well, mind blown." They can actually do whatever they want now.
Yeah,
they can change anything, and they've already written into the first episode.
But how strong was that for him to make that choice to go, "I'm already happy, and this is already my life," and I was just like, "Oh, Barry."
Oh yeah, I mean, and the whole thing with the other, his other self saying no. Hold back.
Yeah.
And he's just gone through the anguish of basically having to turn back, hear his mother get
stabbed. If I could
stabbed.
Turn back time.
It was so awesome. It was just so well done.
It was really nice that he got to have that moment with his mum at the end, though.
That was lovely.
That worked.
And I do love the idea, whether it will happen or not, but I do love the idea that somehow, somewhere, we're going to see the 90s version of The Flash
timeline. I was talking to Jared this afternoon because... this is a Flash fact, but we both love the Flash TV show from the 90s.
I know, so
I was a huge fan of it, and I've always liked John Wesley Shipp for that. I saw him in Neverending Story 2, and I was like, you're the Flash. That's no problem. Anyway, he was suggesting, much like you were, that the next couple of episodes would be Barry trying to get back.
Mm.
And so he might be bouncing around to parallels and such. And what if he does go to a world where Barry Allen is older, and he's the Flash, and it's John Wesley Shipp?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I think that
would
they
be
will
fantastic.
Do that.
I really hope they do. And if... This is Jared's
idea.
It's not
that they'll try and get him. Dude.
This is Jared's idea, but if they can get him to do the opening intro, my name is Barry Allen and I am the Flash, my head would explode. I would be so happy with that.
Are you listening, CW?
Yes. No, get him look, back in honestly, there. I am so excited for second season. I cannot wait.
I want it here now. I'm actually planning to take the entire season with me to the UK to rewatch. Let's talk Supergirl without spoiling it for...
Yes.
Spoil it. Go for it. I want to hear all about it.
I loved it.
Spoiler great. Alert. It is awesome.
Good news. Excellent.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
The look, 6 minutes gave you a taste, but didn't give away anything.
The only problem with the pilot is that it's a pilot. So it has this natural exposition that it has to do, but it really it does it in a really great way. It really does. I remember when we were having that talk with Em, because she didn't like and those that follow us on Facebook would see she didn't like the whole I'm a girl with a girl, the whole Calista Flockhart, whose face doesn't move anymore, by the way. I don't know whether that's an acting choice as Cat Grant or whether that's actual woman. Botox, but it's really great. The girl aspect of it is brilliant. It's really fun. I feel like I'm watching Lois and Clark. Like, I really...
It does have it that does, feel, doesn't it? Does, it? Yeah.
And you know what? To be able to capture that camp joy of Superman is not easy. It's something Smallville really struggled with.
Yes.
And it's really brilliant. And in part of the sense where she is a character who has hidden who she is for so long, and she just has such joy in being she is.
I'm really glad to hear this, because I think that's one of the reasons Flash worked, is because Barry embraces the powers and enjoys them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the same thing. Supergirl loves what she can do.
When she saves the people on the plane and then sees it on the news and giggles, it's so cute.
Yeah, she gets a massive rush.
She's like, hee hee hee, I did that. And it's so cute. And what's more interesting, because at the start you think that she's going to be a love interest for Jimmy Olsen, or James Olsen, as he's calling himself now, and who knows, and he knows that she's Supergirl.
Right.
And you think they're going to be a love interest. And what's really interesting, maybe he is going to be, but by the end of the episode, she starts going, oh my God, cute boy, I'm so shy. And then when she comes into, I'm going to start being who I am in life, and her sister's like, we need you to be this. When she starts doing that, her relationships with the people around her do change in the sense with she suddenly, it's not like she has to have a conversation with him where she's less shy and goofy. She's just not, because she's more comfortable with who she is.
That's awesome.
And it's really strong. And the fact that it had that camp fun to it, the special effects were fantastic.
Yeah, done really well.
I really loved it. I'm like ecstatic thumbs up.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that, guys.
Looking forward to seeing the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, cool. Really, really fun, enjoyable, and yeah, once again, looking forward to the next one. So yeah. It was great stuff.
Loved
great.
It.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll and Dean Cain.
Yeah.
As father.
Stepfather.
Earth father, yeah.
Earth father. All right. No, that works. That works well. I like that idea of bringing in the legacy characters, like John Wesley.
And of course, the original actors. Supergirl is John Wesley Shipp,
Dean Cain. Can't remember her name. It's someone Slater.
Yeah.
Helen Slater.
Helen Slater, yes.
Excellent.
It's great.
Helen Slater and Dean
Cain. I have a feeling we'll see more of them as the series goes on, in possible flashbacks or just, you know, advice or something, I imagine. We'll see.
Well, I assume flashbacks, because if they were there as alive still, they would have called their kids.
Well, possibly.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah. When you notice where your daughter lives and then suddenly Supergirl's around, you'd pick up the phone and go, honey, what's going on?
It'd be like the cars again.
It'd be like the credits from Lois and Clark, just the two parents on the phone.
On the phone all the time.
Oh, I'm haunted by those intros we watched.
Now, speaking of what you're watching, Kung Fury.
Okay. What is this? All right. Saw a lot of buzz online. I have no idea.
Okay,
I know about the Kickstarter, but there was a Kickstarter in your hands, Mike.
And they were trying to raise funds to make this 80s-esque type film with over-the-top and a lot of green screen stuff. I mean, when they were doing it originally, the promo they did, it was the one uniform, or the one cop uniform, spread over a whole bunch of different actors so that they could do the different scene and then play all those same actors walking through the same scene.
Oh, okay.
Green screen-wise. Now, they raised 50 times more than what they thought they were going to get. Did really, really well on Kickstarter, and it was released the 28th of May, so it came out here, well, literally just, yeah, in the last 24 hours. And it was the 31-minute full feature released on YouTube. Now, you had a few people who were a bit pissed because they were kickstarting it, they supported it, and that came out before they actually got the DVD. But someone made a fair argument as well that, you know what? You guys are getting a DVD. You guys are getting all the bonuses and stuff. And you get to watch it now rather than having to wait for it on DVD. So, which I can understand. But I got to say, it really was over the top. There were some really bad lines in there, which clearly I could have written at times. But, yeah, it was just what I expected it to be. 80s, over the top, synthesizer music. You got a Hasselhoff theme song. What else could you want from it, seriously?
Okay, cool.
So, check it out.
That's where the Hasselhoff song is from.
Yes.
Okay, now I have to check it out.
Yeah, just...
Okay.
It's half an hour. It's silly. It's just synthesizers. Check it out.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
So. Well, I feel like we need to steal the ship because Nick's gone to the toilet.
He has, so we have to kind of full time. What have you watched anything else, or that was it?
I have a new show to talk about that I think everyone should check out. I'm going to have more to say about it after next week, but I watched the pilot, first episode, and loved it. It's a Netflix original series called Scrotal Recall. It's an English series, and it's 6 episodes. There's a story of this dude, and he gets chlamydia for the first time. And it's funny, in very true British humor wit. And he gets chlamydia, and it's like, oh, crap. And she's like, well, you've got to go and tell every sexual partner you've had. He makes himself a list and is backtracking. And so he's like, well, I want to tell them in person. Like, I want to do this nicely, you know, let them know, because it might be them. And then the episode is a flashback to that one girl and who she was and who had the awkward situation that got him to sleep with her because he's a loser. It's hilarious. And the first one is like at a wedding, and the bride at the wedding is just a total bitch. Oh. And she's just like, and it's great. It's really funny. Really good UK witch. I recommend everyone checking out Scrotal Recall.
I think that sounds cool, because that's something that the English can handle. They can really get away with those
kinds of wouldn't work in any other country. Yeah. I will show you a little bit of it after we finish recording, because I think you'll really enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of English, I saw The Kingsman this week.
Oh, how was
that? The Secret Service film.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much better than I expected.
Okay.
I mean, in many ways, people criticized it because they were saying it's like Wanted. Because it's a Mark Miller comic turned into a film. And it's the same kind of premise in that you've got this established super society kind of people. In Wanted, it's villains. In this one, it's super spies. They're inducting a new guy into it. And it's all about his training and his path. Stuff. But the thing that really got me into this one was that the Kingsmen as an organization are the perfect British gentleman. Like, they're the epitome of the James Bond style spy. But you've got, like, the core of the spies is Jack Davenport, Michael Caine, and Colin Firth.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, and if you've seen the trailer, it's...
I haven't, so now you must watch the trailer.
The one of the things that really sells it is that, I mean, Colin Firth looks like the perfect English gentleman. He is, yeah. There's a scene early on where he ends up in this pub talking to the young guy they're going to recruit, and these louts come in. They start giving him a hard time about looking, you know, all prim and proper and whatever. He just calmly goes over, locks the doors, and then gives them a lesson in manners, which involves him beating the shit out of them completely.
I already love it.
And it's beautifully choreographed. Like, you watch it and you're like, that's Colin Firth punching the crap out of a guy so his teeth fly out. It's very visceral, but it's brilliant. The whole thing is brilliant because it really takes the piss out of the James Bond genre, but in a way where it says, not only do they do this stuff, but it's awesome. And it plays so well. Okay, I'm
looking forward to seeing now.
It's a lot of fun. It's crazy fun.
Cool.
Mark Strong's in it.
Yep.
Samuel L. Jackson plays the villain,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a lisp, which is both hysterical and distracting the whole way. And it's a lot of fun. I really recommend, if you like Bond films, action films, big tick, go for it. The other thing I was watching, and I really want to talk about this, but I think Emma's watching it as well, so I want to talk about it when she gets back, is Wayward Pines.
Yes, and I want to talk about that next week too, because I'm going to start watching it this
week. Good. I want to see what you guys think, because I've watched the first 2 episodes, and I'm hooked. But let's talk next week.
Love it. Well, I won't be here next week, but I'll still let you know what I think.
Yes, please do. Messenger pigeon, hair bottle.
You don't get me next week because I'm on the radio.
Sounds good. But yeah, let's keep that one for next week.
Yep.
Was there anything else we've all been watching?
I think we've covered it all.
We're good for watching.
All right, we're all up to date there. So I think that pretty much wraps us up for tonight.
We are, but I'll give a quick plug.
Plug time.
It's watch a plug-in. I have a few prints left over from Comic Book Day, Free Comic Book Day, which I am now selling. So you can check out Mickey Toons on Facebook, or I'll be spruiking them. It's a Ghostbusters Turtles mash, and just a good old regular Batman image.
Nice.
So if you're interested, hit up the page.
Awesome.
I have a bit of a strange plug. I'm working on a new podcast project that I'm hoping to unveil in the next few weeks. But what I would really like from you guys...
Was this what you were emailing about with your friend?
And yes.
We'll talk more about that.
So what I really need from you guys, both in the room and listening, is questions. I want...
On what way?
Any kind of question you can think of. It can be as strange or as broad as you want. It can be as specific as you want. I need questions right now. So anything you've got. Could be any topic at all. Could be why is the sky blue? Send them on. Trust me, it could turn into something awesome.
Any context required?
How do you get wine stains out of a wall?
No context. How do you get wine stains out of
a wall?
Yeah, that's good.
That's
I like
a question.
It.
I'm giving you one. Another one is, how do you not kill your plants, Dean?
I'm not sure I can answer that one.
And I want this
but
one said.
Good question.
Said as it is, but wait, where did you buy that cheese?
Perfect. I want it.
Yeah.
So if you guys have got any other questions along those lines or otherwise, please send them through the usual accounts.
You can jump onto the Facebook page and we'll be promoting both Question Time with Nick for his other podcast and some of the artwork that Mike's going to be selling right over the next week. So just jump onto our Facebook. You can follow us there at facebook.com/watchapodcast. There's also Twitter. Have we got access to that yet? Because Nath was the one that had access to it. So we'll have access to it yet. So if you've been writing to at Watch a Show and we haven't replied, that's the reason, and we'll get onto that soon. And you can also, I don't know, do we have anything else?
We have personal accounts.
Oh, whatever. You know who we are. There. You know who we are. And if you don't, then you don't care.
If you do want to find us on Twitter, you can find me at the Excitable Boy,
at MickeyToons,
at Gene Arcuri, and M is at Geek Maven.
So please feel free to send us anything and everything you like, and we'll make sure everything. It gets through. Everything. Come
right.
on, let's not limit.
Let's do it.
The red light is flashing. It's time for us to get out of this place.
The only person from Watcher that really, really replies to me is you, Nick.
Because so. We're friends.
I agree.
All right. Well, that's it from us tonight, guys. So if it's Watcher Earth Wanting,
what you're converging,
and what your secret wars in.
Please come back and tell us all about it.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.